Indeed, may that be the prayer of each and every one of us, to let Christ have his way in us, let his word sink deeply into our heart. May his love for us constrain us to return our life in love to him, glorifying him and honoring him in all that we say and do. And we'll have a reward of eternity in his presence. It'll be such a wonderful, wonderful eternity in the presence of God and the heavenly host, beyond our imagination, beyond our concept. Although God has tried to explain to us how beautiful heaven is, with gates of pearl and streets of gold and light and life and all of the wonderful things that we appreciate, we really can't comprehend it. We will be in awe of it. On the other side of that, we are told about a place called hell. And like heaven, we cannot fathom how terrible that existence is. I'm reminded of Ezekiel and how that Ezekiel was told that he was to be like a watchman, that he was to go and to warn the people. When he saw danger on the horizon, he was to sound the warning. And that if people would heed the warning, they would be saved. But if they heard the warning and didn't heed, didn't pay attention, didn't act, then their fate would be their own responsibility. No one knew more about hell than Jesus. No one talked more about hell than Jesus. No one warned us more about hell than Jesus. It's a subject that we might not like to consider, but it's a subject we must consider. This is not a fairy tale. This is not something that's made up to try to scare people. Hell is a real place, and we'll notice that as we go through this lesson. First of all, I want us to recognize the reality of hell. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In this passage, we learn that hell is to be feared more than death. Are you afraid to die? Most people would answer yes to that. Why are we afraid to die? Well, for one thing, we don't want to stop living. We might have troubles and tribulations in this life, but all in all, living is pretty good. But the other thing that makes us afraid of death is that we really don't know what's on the other side. Although God has explained to us what's on the other side, we've never been there, we've never experienced it, and so we're uneasy about it. And we have many things in life that we could use as illustrations of that point. You use your own. Things that you're unsure of, you don't know about. Maybe you were going someplace and you'd never been there. You don't know what to expect, but you go anyway. You're uneasy about it, but you go anyway. Most people are afraid to die because just simply, what's going to happen to me? What's it going to be like? But in this passage, he says, do not fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Hell is to be feared more than death itself. Because hell is a place of destruction. Notice he says, rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The certainty of hell should motivate us to live so as to go to heaven. It's not the only motive by which we should want to go to heaven. It's not the only motive that Jesus appeals to us on to repent and live a righteous life. He appeals to us on the basis of loving God and glorifying God. But he also warns us that if we choose not to live for God, if we choose to gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to gratify our appetite for sin rather than a love for God and glorifying Him, if that's the choice that we make, then there is an eternity in hell, a place of torment. In Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 through 46, we read, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides sheep from goats." Won't be hard to tell the difference. You don't have to know anything about animals much to be able to distinguish between a sheep and a goat. Jesus said, this isn't going to be hard for God to do. This isn't going to be hard for Jesus to do. And it's not hard for you to do. It's not hard for you to judge. Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Am I on the right hand or am I on the left hand? He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on the right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And He will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." In this passage, we see that hell is just as real as heaven. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's not something that Jesus made up to try to scare us. We've talked about in the letter to the Romans how that Paul often used comparison by contrast. That's what Jesus is doing here. There is a comparison by contrast between heaven and hell. They are 180 degrees out of phase with each other. If heaven is real, and the Bible says that it is, we believe that it is, we trust that it is, we hope that it is, so is hell. Because one, they are spoken in the same way. Jesus speaks of the reality of hell as much as He speaks of the reality of heaven. If hell is a state of mind, as some people try to say, well, hell is just, it's just something that's it's a state of mind. It's not really real. If hell is a state of mind, then so is heaven. Heaven is real, and so is hell. As you come down here to verse 41, he says, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The punishment in hell endures just as long as does life in heaven. Hell is real. Some of us are going to find ourselves spending eternity there unless we repent. Jesus said that the broad way leads to destruction. The majority of mankind is going to walk the path that leads to this place of eternal punishment and torment. But each of us are given the opportunity and extended the invitation to come unto me, Jesus said, "All ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You don't have to experience the torment of this life of knowing that you're out of favor with God, but you can have assurance that you are in the favor of God. You align your life with His will. You come to Him. Do His will. Be coupled to Him. Be in the same yoke with Him and do His work and live to the glory of God. What a wonderful blessing it is to be extended such an invitation and an opportunity to escape from the reality of hell that awaits us if we don't accept the invitation. He says this is an everlasting fire, an everlasting punishment, and that on the other hand, the righteous will go into eternal life. Each endure the same amount of, will each endure the same. There will be no more time. There is no more time when these two eternal realms are entered into. There will be no counting of time. It will be the same forever and ever and ever and ever in each place. Also along the lines of the reality of hell, Jesus told a story. Some say it's a parable. Some say it really happened. There are certainly wording in this that indicates that it is different than a parable. Many times a parable say that the kingdom of heaven is like, Jesus would say, and lay it alongside of the truth. But here he says there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. Another indication this is not a parable or more than a parable is that if this is a parable, it is the only one where an individual is named. It seems to be actually two people and an event that took place, and only God would be aware of this. And it is God, the Word of God, speaking this to us. Lazarus was full of sores. He was laid at the gate of the rich man, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if he goes and one comes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. So much is taught in this story. The words of Abraham, if he will not hear Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded. Even if one was to rise from the dead, they would not be persuaded by any person. What's he saying? That the power is not in a person. The power is in the Word of God. The truth that calls to all. Those who are of the truth come to the light. That's why Abraham could say, if they hear Abraham and the prophets, they can be where Lazarus is. The rich man knew his brothers well. Let's hope he was wrong. But I want you to notice with me that Hades is the realm of departed spirits. Notice he says, being in torments in Hades. Hades is divided into two categories. One is a place of comfort where you find Lazarus and Abraham. Abraham was in paradise. He was in a place of comfort. Jesus said to one of the thieves that was crucified with him, today you will be with me in paradise, this place of comfort. Leaning in the bosom of another was one that was customary of Bible times of finding rest. They didn't have chairs like we have, but they would oftentimes lean upon each other and find comfort and rest in so doing. And here we find Lazarus, this beggar, leaning in the bosom of the Father of us all in regards to faith. Heard what God said, believed what God said, did what God said. He might have been one who was not noble and well known in society, not looked to for wealth or power or leadership, but he was one who heard God, believed God, trusted God, and obeyed God, and lived the best that he could to the glory of God, and found himself in a place of glory after this life. Hades is not the eternal abode, but it is the foretaste of that which is to come. Those who are in a place of torment will be transferred to the eternal place of torment, of hell. Those who are in a place of comfort will be transported to that eternal place of glory and peace and rest and comfort. It is divided into a place of comfort and into a place of torment. Notice the rich man being in the torments of Hades. He said, I am tormented in this flame. Abraham responded, you are tormented. He says, I do not want my brothers to come to this place of torment. Here you have two different people acknowledging the same thing. This is not any place anybody wants to be. Whether it be Abraham acknowledging it's a place of torment or the rich man saying, I am tormented in this flame. Do you really think one drop of water would cool your tongue, would give you relief? How long would it last compared to an eternity of torment? But here's the point that you need to notice. I have five brothers. Let Abraham testify to them, lest they come to this place of torment. Hell is a real place. You can't take a spaceship there, but you can go there. If you plot your course away from the scriptures, away from the teaching of God, from His Word, you are on a course to hell and torment. So hell is a place certainly to be feared. It is just as real as heaven. These facts point to the reality of hell. It's not a figment of somebody's imagination. Both places are equally real. As we've noted, hell is a terrible place. To help us appreciate how terrible hell is, please consider these points. Hell is likened to Gehenna. The word hell is translated sometimes from the word Gehenna. Gehenna is a transliteration of the Aramaic form of the Hebrew word Gehinnom, Valley of Hinnom. This is from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. This valley was to the southwest of Jerusalem. Gehenna became among the Jews a synonym for the place of torment in future life. The Valley of Hinnom became the representative designation for the place of final punishment was due to two causes. The first is, it is in this Valley of Hinnom, in this valley, this had been the seat of the idolatrous worship to Molech, to whom children were emulated by fire. 2 Corinthians chapter 28, verse 3, and 2 Corinthians 33 and verse 6. Many texts tell of parents burning their sons and daughters, to honor this idol. You can refer to Jeremiah 7, verses 30 through 31, Jeremiah 19, verses 5 through 6, 2 Kings 23 and verse 10. This is a real idolatrous God, and these things really happened in history. The image of Molech was the form of a human figure with a bull's head and outstretched arms, ready to receive the children destined for sacrifice. The image of metal was heated red hot by a fire kindled within, and the children laid on its arms rolled off into the fiery pit below. Secondly, on account of these practices, the place was defiled by King Josiah in 2 Kings 23 and verse 10. The good king came, Josiah, and said, we're going to destroy the idol, but we're also going to notice that this is a place that is not to be honored in any way. It became, in consequence, associated in prophecy with the judgment to be visited upon the people, Jeremiah 7 and verse 32. This valley became the city incinerator. Jeremiah spoke of the valley of dead bodies and ashes, Jeremiah 31 and verse 40. Into this valley, dead bodies were cast to be consumed by the dogs, and fires were kept burning to consume the rubbish of the city. Such associations led to the Gehinnom becoming the type of hell. So, when you recognize this, that Jesus was speaking to people in his contemporary times, that the Valley of Hinnom was indeed the city incinerator. It's where you throw the rubbish. It's where the fires never go out. What's he saying? The rubbish of humanity will go there. The fires will never go out. The unpleasantness of such a place will be experienced for eternity. Hell is described as a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation 20, verse 10, verses 14 through 15, and Revelation 21 and verse 8. Other passages portray hell as a furnace of fire. Matthew 13, verse 42 and verse 50. Or a flaming fire, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. A baptism of fire, Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12. An unquenchable fire, Mark 9 and verse 43. Can't throw enough water. There isn't enough water anywhere in the universe to put this fire out. Hell is described as a place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8 and verse 12 says, the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13 and verse 50 says, cast them, the wicked that he's speaking of in verse 49, into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25 and verse 30, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound like a place where you want to be in eternity? You would be one of those who would be weeping and gnashing teeth in a furnace of fire, a place of outer darkness. People said, how can there be fire and darkness at the same time? You've never been in a fire. You get in a fire and it's dark. You can't see. Hell is the place that is described as the place that is farthest removed from light. God is light. God is not in hell. There is no light there. Hell is eternal. Hell would be bad enough if it lasted for a set period of time and then ended. However, the pain and suffering of hell is eternal. It never stops. Jesus identified hell fire as everlasting fire. Matthew 18, verses 8 and 9. Notice, if your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet and to be cast into everlasting fire. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better to enter into life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Jesus isn't speaking literally of cutting off your hand or plucking out your eye, but he's saying in order to develop a spirit within you of saying no, recognize the price. Don't even think about practicing sin. Don't even entertain the thought of practicing sin. Make up your mind to be, as Paul would say in Romans chapter 6 and made the point very well, to be dead to sin, to hate sin, to hate thinking about sin, to hate anything that is against God and that would not glorify God and in fact disgraces God. Hell is everlasting. Jesus equated the longevity of everlasting punishment with that of eternal life. In Matthew 25 and verse 46, he says, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Comparison by contrast. One lasts just as long as the other. If an eternity in torment is too long and too terrible, then the glory of heaven is too much of a reward for us, isn't it? They are exact polar opposites of the other. The torment of hell is forever and ever. Revelation 14, verses 10 and 11. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest. There will be no periods of relief from this torment. Like today, we might suffer an injury or have an operation, and we have pain and suffering for periods of time, but in that period of mending and recovering, even though we're having pain, there will also be periods of times that we have kind of relief from that pain. No, it won't be in hell. Their torment ascends forever and ever. Hell is eternal, just as heaven is eternal. Hell is terrible, just as heaven is glorious. Hell is real, just as heaven is real. Revelation 21, verses 6 through 8, we read, "He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to those who thirst. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" Better get honest with yourself. Are you lying to yourself? Are there things that you're practicing in your life that you don't want to tell your brothers and sisters in Christ? You don't want God to know about it, but God knows. You can deceive yourself, but you cannot deceive God. And in the midst of your self-deception, you realize that you're on the left hand. Get honest with yourself. Escape this eternity in hell and torment, and accept the path of righteousness that leads to eternal life and joy and holiness and purity in the presence of God and the heavenly host. If you're here today and you're out of Christ, accept the invitation to come to Him and to be at rest in Him. Entertain a valid hope of eternal life, knowing you have escaped an eternity in hell. You have every reason to rejoice. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing. The song has been selected.